You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
As we noted yesterday, they did it. The U.S. Senate has changed the rules of the road, a 52-48 vote ending the use of the filibuster to block most presidential nominees.
Enough is enough. The American people's business is far too important to keep falling prey day after day to Washington politics.
President Obama may be happy about the change, but this historic rule change casts out a number of unwritten rules that govern what parties can or cannot do when they are not the majority in the Senate. And that could further poison the chemistry between Republicans and Democrats in the Senate going forward.
The majority leader said we had set the rules for this Congress. Well, obviously, that was a commitment not kept.
That's a angry-sounding Republican Senator and Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Joining us now to help assess what this change will mean for the Senate is Vin Weber, a former Republican congressman from Minnesota from 1980 to 1993, now co-chairman and partner at Mercury, Clark & Weinstock, the political consulting firm there in Washington, D.C. Congressman Weber, welcome back to the program.
John, good to be with you today.
So this is a big deal. What would it have been like if Republicans had made this change back in your era?
It is a big deal. It's an historic change. I don't think it's likely to be reversed. In fact, I think it's likely to accelerate over the next several years. It would have been a very bad deal. The Reagan administration, for instance, would not likely have achieved much of what they achieved because the polarization of the Congress would have been more complete. I think that's how you have to look at this. I have to take very slight issue with the introduction. I think you said that this will poison the relationship between the Republicans and Democrats in Congress. What I would say is this is a result of a poisoned relationship that already exists between Democrats and Republicans in Congress. It's sort of the ultimate surrender to polarization, the concession that we cannot work together as parties, even in the United States Senate, where the rules have pretty much forced that on the two parties over history. And, it's a concession to reality, but it's in some ways a very sad day.
Well, that's why I'm, dying to have this conversation with you, because I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit in the sense that we talked with a historian yesterday who's looked at the filibuster going back a century. Right. And his notion was that you think the Senate is dysfunctional now. Once they do this, watch out. And I'm just wondering what your assessment of that is.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, you have to think about, I don't want to get too theoretical with you, but there's democracy we define very simply as majority rule. But the truth is, in most organizations, most boards of directors, nonprofit organizations, even often local government, people try to achieve not simple majority rule, they try to achieve something close to consensus. If you're on the board of your local church, you don't like to have a 5-4 vote to build a new church parking lot or something like that. You want it to be unanimous. That's what we usually try to seek. The House of Representatives has never been like that, but the Senate has. The Senate has tried to say somewhere in our democracy we want to urge people towards something closer to consensus than simple majoritarianism. And we've thrown that, we've given up on it. We've said we can't run the government that way, whatever the reasons, depolarization in the electorate, changing nature of our political system, all the reasons we've argued about the last few years for polarization. We've now said that is the reality. The reality is there's no longer a chance of a consensus, and we're going to practice simple majoritarian democracy in this country.
Well, let's take the presidential nominees piece out of this. I think Americans have a certain and a well-founded frustration that instead of debating great issues of the day, there are all these symbolic little proxy wars going on that involve things like presidential appointments. Is there a way to create a legislative set of rules where, all right, if you want to have balance on the D.C. circuit, for instance, X number of Republicans, X number of Democratic nominees, write a law and do something like that. Let's make it explicit and keep the presidential appointment process out of this kind of circus.
There are structural fixes such as the one that you just described that might do something. But at the end of the day, I'm not sure that I would like that. I'm a Republican. I do not support this president. On the other hand, I don't want to permanently weaken the presidency and take away from whoever is elected president the ability to try to shape the country's destiny according to his own views. I mean, I just have that view about government. And so we would be trading off. We would be looking at a short-term problem, an intense and acute short-term problem, but trading away a long-term institution, which is the strength of the presidency.
Would you want to be in the Senate right now under these circumstances? Any thoughts there?
I would not. People are going to have to come there with a different attitude. They're going to have to. It's going to be more like the House. They're going to battle it out day after day. And I think that this is. I understand this applies only to non-Supreme Court appointments, but I think that's only because it doesn't, frankly, serve the Democrats' purposes at this point to go further. There's not a Supreme Court vacancy on the table. They can't pass legislation until there's a Democratic House of Representatives anyway. But as soon as either party now finds it in their interest to go further on this rules change, whether it's because the Democrats have a Supreme Court vacancy to fill or because the Republicans take control of the Senate in the next election, if that should happen, I think you're going to see this precedent now extended further to legislation and to all appointments.
So if there is a Republican majority in the Senate, this will be accelerated regardless?
That's my guess. I've talked to a lot of Republican activists the last, 24 hours, or I guess even less than that, since this decision came down. And one thing I hear regularly from them is, this is a horrible, awful thing, but at least it's going to help us finally get rid of Obamacare. Meaning, if and when the Republicans take control of the Senate, they will now be able to pass the repeal of Obamacare or the undoing of Obamacare with a simple majority vote.
All right.
And I think the pressure to do that will be so overwhelming should the Republicans take control that all these arguments about the need to maintain precedent of the filibuster are going to go out the window.
All right. Stay tuned for that. Devin Weber, former Republican congressman from Minnesota from 1980 to 1993, now co-chairman and partner at Mercury, Clark & Weinstein. Stock. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John. Good to be with you.
Later this hour, we're going to reflect on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy 50 years ago. We've been collecting your memories all week. We've been sharing those memories. Have your say at 877-8-MY-TAKE or follow us on Twitter. That's at The Takeaway, all one word, at The Takeaway.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.